from ABC News, World News This Week. I'm Chuck Sievertson in New York. Coming up,
your ducks, you get suspended, end of story.
Journalists banned from Twitter, the downfall of a crypto king.
One of the biggest financial frauds in American history.
A major breakthrough.
The holy grail of energy for many years.
Bracing for the holiday rush.
112 million Americans will travel.
The race to prevent a holiday surge.
Flu is rising in many parts of the country. Probably the worst flu outbreak we've seen in a decade.
And Harry and Meghan get personal.
It was terrifying to have my brother scream and shout at me and my father say things that just simply weren't true.
The people and events that made headlines when World News This Week continues.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Twitter back in the headlines this week after several prominent journalists were banned from the platform. New owner Elon Musk claiming a violation of policy. ABC's Andrew Dimbert has the story.
Twitter's new owner, Elon Musk, suspending the accounts of multiple journalists from news outlets, including The New York Times, The Washington Post, and CNN, for allegedly violating the company's new doxing policy by sharing his live location. Doxing, referring to sharing someone's identity, address, or other personal information online. Late Thursday, Musk joined a Twitter Spaces conference to address the decision.
You dox, you get suspended, end of story. That's it.
The wave of suspensions comes on the heels of Musk's move earlier this week to permanently ban the @ElonJet, a Twitter account that tracked the location of his private jet using publicly available data, despite saying last month he would leave the account up as part of his commitment to free speech. Some of the reporters suspended Thursday night had been reporting on the new doxing policy. Musk falsely claimed that the journalists had violated his new doxing policy by sharing his live location, amounting to what he described as assassination coordinates. The suspensions coming amid a wave of controversy on content moderation since Elon Musk took control of Twitter, CNN saying in part, "We have asked Twitter for an explanation, and we will reevaluate our relationship based on that response."
ABC's Andrew Dimbert. Elon Musk's actions come in the wake of mass layoffs and resignations from the company. Musk firing nearly half of Twitter's staff last month after he took over, then pushing out additional employees and issuing an ultimatum to remaining workers to work hardcore or leave.
Bankman-Fried and his co-conspirators stole billions of dollars from FTX customers.
That's Damian Williams, the federal prosecutor overseeing the case of Sam Bankman-Fried, the former head of collapsed crypto exchange FTX, who this week was arrested in the Bahamas and charged with orchestrating a scheme to defraud equity investors of more than $1.8 billion. ABC's Rebecca Jarvis has more.
The founder of FTX, one of the largest cryptocurrency exchanges in the world, now charged in a scheme that investigators say stole billions of dollars from customers and investors.
This is one of the biggest financial frauds in American history.
Sam Bankman-Fried fighting extradition from the Bahamas as he faces SEC charges and 8 counts of criminal fraud, including money laundering and wire fraud. The major political donor also accused of violating campaign finance laws.
He used that money for his personal benefit, including to make personal investments and to cover expenses and debts of his hedge fund, Alameda Research.
But in an interview with our George Stephanopoulos just 2 weeks ago, Bankman-Fried repeatedly denied knowing FTX funds were improperly being used for his hedge fund, Alameda Research.
I don't know of FTX deposits being used to pay off Alameda creditors.
FTX customers alone were defrauded over $8 billion, according to federal authorities.
Are you worried about going to jail?
There are a lot of things that are worrying me right now. Let whatever, you know, regulatory and legal processes are happening play out as they will.
The 30-year-old once celebrated as the poster child for transparency in crypto. His company, FTX, valued at $32 billion earlier this year, attracting amateur investors and partnering with celebs like Steph Curry and Tom Brady, but imploding nearly a month ago with FTX filing for bankruptcy and Bankman-Fried stepping down as CEO. The new FTX CEO, John Ray, testifying on Capitol Hill.
This is really old-fashioned embezzlement. This is just taking money from customers and using it for your own purpose. Not sophisticated at all.
ABC's Aaron Katursky echoes those sentiments, saying what happened at FTX appears to be old school fraud.
For all of the, you know, intrigue about digital currency, this is kind of an old fashioned analog type fraud where he's taking money that is designed for one thing and using it for something else without disclosing it. And according to prosecutors, this went on from at least 2019 all the way through into 2022. And the whole thing about FTX, even though he purported it was a safe place to do business and regulators called it a house of cards.
The criminal charges against Bankman-Fried could land the disgraced FTX CEO in prison for years. But first, U.S. prosecutors will have to secure an extradition from the Bahamas back to New York, something legal experts say could take weeks.
This is one of the most impressive scientific feats of the 21st century.
U.S. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm announcing a major breakthrough in fusion power research this week. Scientists at the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory producing more energy from a nuclear fusion experiment than the energy that was used to kick off the reaction. As ABC's Alex Stone explains, that's a first.
In the world of science, this is a very big deal. Scientists in California found a way to make clean energy the way the sun and the stars do it, through nuclear fusion. The scientists achieving it by aiming almost 200 gigantic lasers at a piece of metal the size of a pencil eraser. Professor Troy Carter at UCLA's Plasma Science Technology Institute says
this has been kind of the holy grail of energy for many years.
And now they've achieved net energy out of the reaction, energy that one day could power the globe with zero carbon output. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Dr. David Donovan is a professor of nuclear engineering at the University of Tennessee. He says unlike nuclear fission, which splits atoms apart, fusion smashes them together.
The whole point is you want the individual atoms to be going so fast that when they run into each other, they overcome the repulsion and they slam into each other and fuse and then blow back apart and release way more energy than they had to begin with.
Scientists have been studying nuclear fusion for decades, but the problem has always been it produces less energy than it consumes.
You know, when fusion started out, it was, you know, 1/10,000th of the amount of energy in versus energy out. And every decade, you got closer and closer.
And Dr. Donovan says this week's breakthrough has big implications in the clean energy space.
There's no carbon emitted from the actual fusion reaction, and you don't have the same long-term wastage. And fusion power plants do not have the same ability to melt down.
With Christmas just around the corner, hospitals are feeling the strain from the so-called triple-demic, that triple whammy of COVID, RSV, and flu cases. ABC's M. Nguyen has more.
Hospitals around the country treating an inrush of patients battling a perfect storm of viruses. In preparation of this winter surge, the Biden administration is once again offering households free COVID-19 testing kits at covidtest.gov. White House health officials urging people to test themselves if they have symptoms and before visiting with family this holiday season. The president's plan comes as the country faces a rise in respiratory viruses, COVID-19, RSV, and the flu.
Flu is rising in many parts of the country. We're probably the worst flu outbreak we've seen in a decade.
Now, the World Health Organization is also tracking a potential uptick in invasive Group A strep infections, a sometimes life-threatening illness among children. One doctor saying the ongoing shortage of the antibiotic amoxicillin could also be exacerbating the situation.
M1, ABC News, Washington.
And with COVID making a comeback, health officials are urging American seniors to get the latest booster shot. ABC's Brian Clark says a new CDC study out this week shows just how effective that shot is.
Any vaccination is still more effective than no vaccination against COVID-19, but a new CDC study of adults over 65 found the updated bivalent booster was 73% more effective at preventing hospitalization compared to people who were just considered fully vaccinated, meaning they'd received at least two doses. It was 83% effective when compared to fully vaccinated patients who had received at least their primary series more than a year ago. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Turning now to the holiday exodus, more than 100 million Americans planning to travel. ABC's Gio Benitez at LaGuardia Airport in New York says it's going to be crowded on the roads and in the skies.
If you thought we saw a lot of travelers for Thanksgiving, get ready, because we're looking at double that in the next week. AAA is predicting 112 million Americans will travel more than 50 miles for the Christmas New Year holiday. Now, the majority by car, but a huge number by air. United, Delta, and American, they plan to fly more than 27 million people. That's a record since the start of the pandemic. Now, the CEO for the travel website Kayak expects full flights despite that sky-high airfare, $580 round trip for a domestic flight, 47% more than last year. Americans, they are still traveling to their destinations earlier and returning home later. As for the roads, the busiest days to drive, we're looking at Friday the 23rd and then Tuesday the 27th, so get ready. Don't say I didn't warn you.
And from the holiday travel rush to the holiday shipping rush, ABC's Becky Worley paid a visit to the largest U.S. Postal Service facility in the country in South Los Angeles.
This place is huge. It is loud. It is buzzing. It is 1.7 million square feet under roof. That means that you could have 22 football games happening concurrently in here. That's all the NFL games in the weekend times two. In terms of the amount of packages they're processing, 1 million a day. They have machines in here that automatically sort 10,000 packages an hour. And it's not just machines. There are 3,000 people working on all of these packages that are making their way. And you understand the scope of the work it takes them to get underneath our trees.
If you want to get your holiday gifts there on time, there are some big shipping deadlines coming up. Again, ABC's Becky Worley.
Saturday the 17th is the big one. That is the cutoff for USPS ground shipping. Next big deadline, we go to priority mail. That's on the 19th. That's Monday. And then we step up again in cost with UPS and FedEx on the 20th. So it is all about time and money right now. Tick tock.
A somber anniversary this week. Newtown, Connecticut marking 10 years since a lone gunman stormed Sandy Hook Elementary School and killed 20 first graders and six educators. The senseless tragedy shocking the nation. Barack Obama calling it the darkest day of his presidency. ABC's Andrea Fujii.
Since Sandy Hook, the nation has seen nearly 1,000 school shootings. After the massacre at Robb Elementary in Uvalde, Texas this year, Congress passed the first federal gun safety law in 30 years, tightening background checks and offering so-called red flag grants for states to help police and families confiscate guns from people considered a threat. But advocates like Nicole Hockley, whose son Dylan died at Sandy Hook, insist more must be done.
These acts of violence are preventable, and that we all have a role in doing something about it.
On Wednesday, President Biden issuing a proclamation to mark the Sandy Hook anniversary. More on that from ABC's Karen Travers.
In a separate statement, the president said, quote, "We should have societal guilt for taking too long to deal with this problem." The president goes on to say, quote, "We have a moral obligation to pass and enforce laws that can prevent these things from happening again." He highlights the bipartisan gun law he signed this summer and says he will fight to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
Brittany Griner back home for the holidays. A week after her return to the U.S., the WNBA star left the medical military facility in Texas where she was being evaluated and headed home to Arizona. Griner also speaking out on Instagram, making her first statement since she was released from Russian detention in a high-stakes prisoner swap. More from ABC's Mary Alice Parks.
So much of what she wrote there was about saying thanks to everyone, from her teammates to the WNBA, to members of this White House and the Biden administration, the Richardson Center that works on getting hostages home. She wrote, "President Biden, you brought me home, and I know you are committed to bringing Paul Whelan and all Americans home. I will use my platform to do whatever I can to help."
Griner, in her post, also vowing to rejoin her Phoenix Mercury teammates this upcoming season.
Everyone here at the White House, the administration had said that her recovery and her timeline is up to her. Her coach had said the same, that they were waiting to see what Brittany wanted to do. So here she is sort of making it official. I'm sure fans will be very pleased.
ABC's Mary Alice Parks. TikTok facing increasing scrutiny this week. Here again, ABC's Brian Clark.
The U.S. Senate this week unanimously passing a bill keeping the popular app off of federal government devices. Alabama, Georgia, Idaho, and Utah joined four other states in issuing similar bans. The problem centers on security concerns about the Chinese-owned platform. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze tells our Start Here podcast.
TikTok has more than 100 million users in the U.S. So the concern that top government officials have raised is that the Chinese government could collect that data, possibly use it for intelligence purposes.
And a new study finds TikTok may push harmful content to teens. Imran Ahmed with the Center for Countering Digital Hate says,
within minutes, it was sending self-harm and suicide content, eating disorder content within 8 minutes. And every 39 seconds, our test accounts received some sort of harmful content.
TikTok telling ABC News the study, quote, does not reflect genuine behavior or viewing experiences of real people. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Amazon also in the spotlight. ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Amazon warehouses in five states came under investigation after the U.S. Attorney's Office here in New York received complaints about worker safety, a grueling pace, and uncomfortable heat. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration cited Amazon for 14 record-keeping violations. The citation said Amazon failed to properly record injuries, misclassified injuries and illnesses, and did not provide timely information. The company now faces $29,000 in proposed fines. Amazon acknowledged small administrative errors, but said employee safety is its top priority. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
New details this week in the investigation of four college students murdered over a month ago at an off-campus home at the University of Idaho. Here again, ABC's Alex Stone.
After the discovery of surveillance video a mile away from the search area showing a grainy image of a white car that might match the one police have been looking for, Moscow police say they are broadening their search area now. Chief James Fry says they will investigate through Christmas and New Year's.
You know, we're giving individuals time off when they need it. We're augmenting other people into those spots so that the investigation continues, but we're not going to stop investigating this.
It's unknown if the car police are looking for had anything to do with the murders. Alex Stone, ABC News.
To the crisis on the southern border, where local governments are being pushed to the limit as the flow of migrants continues to surge. ABC's Matt Rivers at the scene.
Unprecedented scenes in El Paso, some 2,500 crossings per day, could be a preview of what's to come. The Trump-era policy allowing officials to turn away migrants based on COVID health orders could expire. DHS is trying to meet the need with more temporary housing, money, and doubling transportation options to take migrants to less crowded border facilities, something they call, quote, decompression. El Paso officials say that's not enough. Border holding facilities are already at or beyond capacity, and that's forced the release of hundreds every day into El Paso. Local charities trying to help people, like Albert and his wife Paula from Ecuador, giving them clothes and blankets to cope with freezing temperatures.
Parece que todo el mundo está llegando a la frontera en este momento. It seems like everyone's arriving here right now. ¿Por qué? Why?
Yo creo que es por lo mismo. Por el sueño americano y por trabajar y darle lo mejor a su familia. Creo
everyone has the same reason. They're coming here to work and find the American dream.
In Ukraine this week, Russia carrying out more mass strikes on Ukraine's energy grid. On Friday alone, more than 70 missiles fired at several areas of the country, hitting thermal power plants, hydroelectric plants, and substations. ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge in the capital, Kyiv.
The situation in terms of the civilian infrastructure here is getting worse and worse. The situation for Ukrainians as we go into winter really is quite dire right now. But I don't think it's going to have a huge impact on the war. This is the civilian population which is suffering because of this, but it's not changing the dynamics on the war on the front in the east and the south. The war goes on there.
Also overseas, in Germany, a giant world record-holding aquarium in the lobby of a Berlin hotel suddenly burst, spilling a million liters of salt water and 1,500 tropical fish out onto the road. Two people were injured by glass fragments. None of the fish survived. ABC's Tom Rivers in London has the story.
Around dawn, it completely collapsed. The 82-foot-tall aquarium, described as the biggest cylindrical tank in the world, broke, unleashing a tsunami of water and debris. Hotel guests were shocked.
I went to my friend's room. There is a window there. You can watch the whole aquarium from there. And we see that everything with water and everything is huge, destroyed.
Freezing temperatures overnight may have caused a crack in the tank, which then exploded under the weight of the water. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
Coming up.
It was terrifying to have my brother scream and shout at me and my father say things that just simply weren't true.
The deepening feud between Britain's royal brothers. when World News This Week continues. It looked like business as usual in London this week for Prince William and Kate as they attended a holiday service at Westminster Abbey. The tabloids later printing images of their appearance with the headlines, "The Traitor and the Dutiful," and "Dignity in the Face of Treachery." This as Prince Harry and Meghan Markle released the final episode of their Netflix series, taking aim at William. More from ABC's Morgan Norwood.
They're happy to lie to protect my brother. And yet, for 3 years, they were never willing to tell the truth to protect us.
Harry and Meghan claim they were bullied out of the royal family because others were jealous of their popularity. And they accuse aides for William and Kate of planting negative stories about them in the media.
And to see my brother's office copy the very same thing that we promised the two of us would never, ever do, that was heartbreaking.
Harry also revealed new details about a heated discussion with the late Queen Elizabeth, King Charles, and William about his departure from royal duties.
It was terrifying to have my brother scream and shout at me and my father say things that just simply weren't true, and my grandmother, you know, quietly sit there and sort of take it all in.
Harry also says he believes the stress of a lawsuit against a British tabloid contributed to Meghan's miscarriage.
Now, do we absolutely know that the miscarriage was caused by that? Of course we don't. But bearing in mind the stress that that caused, the lack of sleep, and the timing of the pregnancy, how many weeks in she was, I can say from what I saw, that miscarriage was created by what they were trying to do to her.
ABC's James Longman in London with more takeaway from the docuseries.
What you can't deny is that tabloid headlines about Meghan were racist, and that the royal family chose to do nothing about those things really upset both Harry and Meghan. And it was just a clash of cultures where, you know, you have an American who feels very motivated to speak up and speak her mind versus a British institution, which doesn't usually do that at all. For British people, they'll look at Meghan and say, well, just stop being so American. And Americans will look at Brits and go, well, stop being so British and you're never going to get over it. So, I mean, there's part of that. But you can bet your bottom dollar that the royal family are not going to say anything about this. They feel that keep quiet, carry on. And, you know, Harry's got a book coming out. It's going to come out early next year. And I think we're going to just see a real effort by Kate and Will, especially to kind of put out the business as usual image. They want to provide that contrast with Harry and Meghan living this glamorous life in Montecito. Well, Kate and Will are still here shaking hands in rainy car parks. And this is the future of the British monarchy.
And those are the people and events that made World News This Week. World News This Week was written and produced by Claire Bauer. I'm Chuck Sievertson, ABC News, New York.